Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Well, we're going to continue our conversation. You don't forget we have four programs back to back, and you know, this week we're going to continue talking about the heart of Nehemiah. You know, it's the secret to rebuilding the church in America, really. You know, the heart of Nehemiah, and it fits right in, by the way, if you missed that particular program on Dr. King. It's like, hey, we have to deal with the sins of our fathers. We're going to have to deal with those things and come to the place that God will want us to come. But I know that we were in Nehemiah chapter 2, and it was amazing how, isn't it amazing how you're just watching? And it's so cool, as we're going to find out later on, is that he says, this is what God's put in my heart to do. And so God put this inside Nehemiah's heart. He didn't all of a sudden say, hey, I got a great concept. You know, I want to do this thing. And, you know, a lot of people have a lot of good intentions, but God didn't call them to do that. You know, maybe that's not the season to do that. Right. Maybe, you know, think about the torch and the sword, the vision that God had given, you know, Rick Joyner, and he's saying, you know, the wisdom basically told him, don't take it. What are you doing? Don't take that step now. You would have just died. You would have just, and you know, if you show up before, if David would have started printing business cards when he was playing music for Saul, he would not have made it into the leadership God had for him. It's just the way it is. And so you got to wait for that timing. And it's God that promotes. And a promotion, my understanding in the Lord, means you have more burden to bear and more price to pay. And God wants to do something significant. It's not what you hear in the American gospel. A promotion is like, I just got a raise at work. It's like, no, now I'm going to actually use you to hone out more stones, you know? And Jonah got promoted, for example. He's like, I don't want this promotion. Jonah, go ahead. I'm going to promote you to Nineveh. You're going to go tell them. That's a promotion. Is
honed.
That not?
He got honed, yes.
That is a, that's a promotion. You know, okay, I've taken you through this, and now I'm going to use you here to do this. And the training for that promotion was something like a shipwreck, tossed seas, and tossed lunch by a well. Anyway, so so we're looking at, you know, here Nehemiah has come back. We're just catching up here in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 19. Remember, he cast vision right before that, and he cast such a detailed vision, just like Habakkuk 2:2-3 says to do it, and hopefully that's referenced in the in these, is that he tells us very specifically how you have to write it. You have to write it so clearly what God is showing to you that other people can run with it, not just so you can run with it. You know, why did you need to even communicate it to anybody if you're the only one that's going to run with it? Doesn't mean people are going to run with it, but it means you did not get in the way of giving people the opportunity to run with God and what God was going to do through that particular season and what God was doing. And so he wrote it down. He spoke it out and everything. Imagine this. Everything's in ruins. I mean, everything's scattered. All the stones are scattered. The gates are burned. You know, he's already came out of his broken state, and you can't not build while you're broken. You cannot build if you're still going through all this mourning because you're not ready yet, because it's going to be dysfunctional in how you communicate what God's going to do. Now, you had to go through that phase to understand and have the empathy for what you're doing, but know the fact that at this particular point, that now he's clear, he's confident, this is what we're going to do. God has put his hand on him, and so therefore favor has come his way to be able to do it, and that's how you know. We talked about that. And so then, in the context of this, then he cast a vision, and they say, the people say, let us get started. Let us get started. So they began to do the work. And that's so important. You know, I'm not understanding this, and this is why we're talking about this, is why I'm talking about this, is the fact that if somebody's casting vision, what the Lord is saying before you, don't be a typical American and just watch it like you're watching TV. He's casting vision on you, so God's telling you what's going on, so you can say, okay, I'm going to do it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, I'm going to do this thing.
Yeah.
And what people do in America, they just watch TV, they watch their phones, they watch cable, they watch others, they watch sports, they watch, and it's like, no, you're in the movie. This is you actually doing it. And so the vision is cast so you can say, you know, I want to do this. I want to actually do this thing. And so in that, he cast it, and that's what they say. And one of the dilemmas that's been happening in the church that I've noticed is that most people just watch church, a holy building, a holy man in a holy moment with holy clothes, with a holy message, with a holy this, and they just leave, and they go, wow, that was holy. You know, that was holy in the context of it. And so know, with that, it's not going to ever happen. The walls are not going to be built if all you do is watch preachers preach, if all you do is watch prophets prophesy, if all you do is hear people cast vision and you go, oh, I can't wait till they do all that. It's all of us together working together to accomplish. God sends a trumpet. He sends a warning. He sends a direction. He puts something on a man or a woman's heart or many of his people's hearts, like he says in Amos, and he speaks it out, and all of us go, this is God. This is good. Let's do what God is saying. And so everything breaks down at this one moment in time. No matter how well you did in the whole process to this point on this journey, if you're still a voyeur, you're still just watching it happen. You feel like you're actually playing football, but you've never, never, never even smelt the grass on the field. Mm-hmm. You bought the jerseys. You got your stickers up. You know, you talk about your team all the time, mm-hmm. but you've never played ball. You never played ball. You never even thought about. You've criticized players. You've criticized quarterbacks. You complain about calls by the referees, but you've never been on the field. Mm-hmm. At this point, you have to say, this is good. I'm going to not only get a uniform on to be a fan. I'm not going to be a player. I'm going to get in the game. It all breaks down at this one moment, don't it?
Yeah.
It all breaks down because they had to respond when they heard what God wanted done in their generation. They had to say, let's us get started building. And it's going to be difficult because what it's going to cost you is all the stuff that you wouldn't give up originally. You're going to have to let it go. It's going to cost you everything. He says, unless you've measured the cost. And to be my disciple is going to cost you everything. Mm-hmm. And somebody convinced you it's not going to cost you nothing. So therefore, you try to keep everything. And now you're just watching it. And you think you're actually in it when you're just watching it. Ain't that going to be some stuff when you stand before the throne of God and as a fan and you point at your best number one player who has the best statistics in the kingdom of God for doing things. You go, look, I was his fan. I was her fan. I bought all of their CDs. I got all their downloads. I did all this kind of stuff. It's like, yeah, they were pretty awesome, weren't they? Yeah, well, well done. They were well done. Good and faithful servant. And you were a pretty good fan away from me, though. I never knew you. Well, you workers of iniquity.
That's right.
I never knew you. And you got to play. It's just, you know, do as I do, Jesus said. You know, get in the game. And so at this point, we don't want it breaking down. If we heard what God is saying, and if you're not around, if you're not around folks, or you're not hearing from God, find the people who are, because it's not like, you know, I get a get out of responsibility free car because I chose to be around somebody who has a stiff neck and blinded eyes and deaf ears. They don't hear, and they're stuck on this repeat cycle: grace, 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 grace. I mean, it's just like, okay, got it. Mm-hmm. World's falling apart right now. Economy's crashing. We're poking Israel in the eye. Help me wake up here. Church is falling apart. We're buying into false doctrines. You know, it's like grace, grace, grace. It's almost like the march beating drum to the showers at the Holocaust, the concentration camps. Grace, grace. Just get into the theater. Remember? Just get on in there. They're giving you hard to get on in there. It's like, no, I am not going in the gas chamber. They drag me. Anyway, so understand. Don't skip over this point of commitment to what God is saying, because the rest of it is null and void. If you didn't, all these parts connect. They connect. And at that point, you know, it's better not to watch it all and convince yourself you're doing it than to watch it and be hampered by the enemy convincing you're actually doing something when you're really just watching something. Because you can watch a movie. You can watch a movie and you can go through all these emotions. You can go through all this ups and downs and this is sad and happy or whatever. And it was all said and done. It was a movie. It wasn't really real, but you went, you felt these feelings and all that. And that's what it can be like when you're watching the church. You can actually be convinced because you're going through these emotions and this happiness and sadness. And it's like Francis Chan said, that was great. I felt it. I even cried, you know, and then they leave and they're not unchanged.
Yeah.
And, so I want to say at this point, you know, so that's why you need to know, is this God? You know, what's God saying to this generation? What is he saying to us? What is the expectations of us? And hopefully, you know, you're starting to hear, because I'm hearing a crescendo, you know, of God's folks, you know, from a lot of different places, hearing from the same Lord, same Spirit. So all of a sudden, here they're starting to build. So everything's cool now, right? Because they're starting to build. Everything's fine. We bought into the vision, God. We're going to do this thing. We're going to do it. And all of a sudden, verse 19, again, here comes Sanballat the Horonite, you know what I'm saying? And Tobiah and these officials come from Geshem, and the Arabs, they heard about it. They heard, Again, heard the first time they came and they thought, who is this doing anything for the Jews? Who is this? Who is it? What are they doing anything good for the Israel, for God's folks? Don't you know we don't want anything good for done for them? And then finally he gets cast the vision. He lays it all out. They say, yes, this is God. We're going to do this thing. And when they do that and they begin to build, and you got to understand this, this is going to happen. Get over the fact that, you know, CNN's not going to love you. I mean, they're just not. You know, they may have moments where that, you know, you stand out because somebody appeared on some street and prayed for somebody, and they're trying to figure out where this mysterious man appeared at the wreck scene and you know, the mystery type thing. And then they find out it was somebody that actually stopped and went up and prayed for him. It was an angel. Oh, it was a, okay. Anyway. So, in the context of that, so all of a sudden these guys come up and they started, now that they're at the next level, the first level was they were thinking. They were looking at things, and Nehemiah was not sharing in detail what God had laid on his heart. Now he shared with the close core of folks who were going to begin to build. And as soon as they heard, as Sanballat heard what was going on, immediately the whole crew came down and they began to mock and begin to ridicule. Mock and ridicule. Understand this. This is what's going to happen. It's never going to stop. This is what's going to continue to happen. It's not that it stops someday. It just doesn't bother you. You know, I remember the young man that was going, is new in the Lord, and he was wondering, you know, about his sin nature, and he's sitting there with his elbows on his knees and just worn out. You know, he's going to Bible school and doing everything you should do to go after God, and but he was still there. He was still, and so he looks exhausted, and his head's almost hanging between his knees, even though his elbows are on his knees, and he says, when will this stop? When will this stop? Bless his heart, you know. I'm like, oh, it'll never stop. Right. You just won't feel it anymore. And it was like, oh my goodness, that was amazing. And so the mocking and the ridiculing, which is really it's a tactic. It's a Lucifer tactics, what it is. And they start saying things, and you have to be careful what you're listening to, even though it's happening. And we talk. I won't tell you what they're saying. What you'll begin to hear. It's very dangerous because you build by faith, and doubt is the enemy of faith, and that's what the ridicule is going to try to do. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on WHBR all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if we're not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com. Or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.
Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter, and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country in that order and Israel as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.